Well, I was kind of hoping Brother Dwayne was going to be here today. He called me earlier this week, about a month and a half ago. He told me he wasn't going to be here a couple of weeks in July, I think the 14th and the 21st. And then about 2 or 3 weeks ago, he called me and says, well, I don't think I'm going to be here on the 30th either. Can you do that? And I said, absolutely. And earlier this week, he says, well, I might be there, but I'd like for you to go ahead and do it if you don't mind. I said, well, absolutely, no problem. When I got started on the lessons that I was going to do in July, it's going to be about grace. Because I've always wondered, where did we come up, whoever came up with the name Grace Walk? Did somebody just pull it out of the sky? You know, here's the name of our class is Grace Walk. I don't know. You know, does anybody know? You know, who came up with the name? I don't know. But I know we're all walking in grace, you know. And I know we've all heard the name, if but for the grace of God, you know, we wouldn't be here. You know, we've all heard that term. Because we've all survived some hardships, and I know in my life I've survived some pretty close calls, some near-death experiences, and I think, if we're all honest, you know, we've all had some pretty close calls in our life. But as I started working through those lessons that I was working through, I come across a topic, and the closer it got to this holiday, the more I got to thinking about this holiday and grace. And then Thursday night happened. And I'm not going to get into politics, so we're not going to go off in a tangent there. But we got problems in America. You know, but for the grace of God, you know, we're still Americans and we still live in a free country. So Thursday, we're going to celebrate about 240 years of independence from British rule. We came to this country not for freedom of speech, but for freedom of religion. What we wanted in our independence was freedom to worship God without interference from the government. We're very blessed to live in a country that still, even in the midst of all ungodliness, considers itself one nation under God. And there's still people out there that's trying to take that away from us, that under God. My message today is America. God shed his grace on thee, but will God still shed his grace on thee? We have freedom today, not because of war, not because of a Declaration of Independence, but because we serve a God that has shed his grace on us as a nation. I want us to see today that we're free because of one, God's grace, and two, God's mercy. So if you will, turn to Lamentations 3, 22 through 26. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because of his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. We're so blessed today to be called an American. Our nation was founded on the principle of God's word. And we are a nation today said to be a Christian nation because of one, God's grace. The word grace is found in the King James Bible at least 171 times. In the Old and New Testament, it means the same thing. Grace literally means God's unmerited, unearned favor on sin-ridden humanity. God shed his grace, his unmerited, unearned favor on America some 248 years ago, and he's still shedding it on us today. We ain't earned it. In Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 9, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I don't know why, and I can't explain it, but God, even today, is, as verse 7 says, "In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." As much as we sin and rebelled, and still gives us grace every day in America. Even when we stiffened our necks, raised our fist in defiance, and then cried out forgiveness, he hears us and still forgives and still gives us favor. This is nothing new. If we look in Nehemiah, I'll let you turn to it, Nehemiah 9, we're going to look at Nehemiah 9, verses 25 through 31. Everybody there? "And they took strong cities and a fat land, and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards and olive yards, and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat, and were filled, and became fat, and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient, and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs, and slew thy prophets, which testified against them, to turn them to thee. And they wrought great provocations. Therefore thou deliverest them into the hands of their enemies, who vex them, and in time of their troubles, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies thou gavest them saviors, who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore leftest thou them in the land of their enemies, so that they had the dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and many times didst thou deliver them according to thy mercies, and testified against them, that thou mightest bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly, and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them, and withdrew their shoulder, and hardened their neck, and would not hear. Yet many years didst thou forbear them, and testified against them by the Spirit in thy prophets. Yet would they not give ear, therefore gavest thou into the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God." God gave us a land in America, rich and full, full of goods, trees in abundance, a prosperous land, a land of milk and honey, a land that everybody desires to come to and make a go of it, to make a life in it. And even today, just like back in the day of Nehemiah's time, our nation has rebelled and turned away from God. We see it today. Look at what it says in verse 28. Yet when they returned and cried out to you, you heard from heaven and delivered them. Today we live in a world that's no different than it was in Noah's day. Genesis 6:5 says, then the Lord saw that wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis 6:6 says, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it was grieved in his heart. Men were rebelling against God, committing every kind of perversion known to mankind, just as it is today. But there was one man, that was said in Genesis 6:9, who walked with God. Genesis 6:8 says, Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. God did not have to have favor, but he found one man that was living for him and spared him and his family. God does not have to have favor or grace on America, but he does because of men 248 years ago, and still men and women today who walk with God. This country we call America was founded by men and women who found favor with God, grace, not because of anything that they did, but because they walked with God like Noah did. Listen to some of these godly men's last will and testaments. Samuelite Adams, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, first of all, I rely on the merits of Jesus Christ for the pardon of all my sins. Patrick Henry, this is all the inheritance I can give to my dear family, which leaves them poor. But my Jesus that I serve can give them an inheritance which will indeed make them rich. John Quincy Adams, my hopes of a future life are all founded upon the gospel of Christ, and I cannot quibble away my godly heritage. George Washington, you will do well to leave above all else the religion of Jesus Christ. Jacob Broom, a signer of the Constitution to his son, don't forget to be a Christian. God shed his grace on America today because it was founded by men who did as Noah and walked with God. He did not have to show his grace, but he did, and I'm glad he did. We need to remember this 4th of July to thank God for his unmerited, undeserved grace today on us and on our country, and that he ain't giving up on us. But through it all, you can't talk about God's grace without looking at God's mercy. If grace is receiving what we don't deserve, then what's mercy? The word mercy is found in the King James Bible at least 276 times. Mercy literally means compassion or love. Mercy then is not receiving what we deserve. Mercy is God's compassion on sin-ridden humanity because we deserve to be cast into the eternal lake of fire. But God had compassion on us. God had compassion on America. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's mercy is so great that Paul tells us in Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Daniel 9:18. We do not make a request of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercies. Our text in Lamentations 3:22, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because of his compassions, our mercies fail not. In Exodus 33, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. God did not have to show mercy to America. And looking at our current situation and the rebellious people, we deserve to perish like Sodom and Gomorrah, or like those in Noah's day. Look at what's going on around us. I'm not a politician. I would like to say, I like to love everybody. I like to respect everybody. But God made man and God made woman. And I believe that. And I'm not going to get into arguments on it. But we have a decline in our morals in our country, the same as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And our values in America have degenerated. So when I say, if we look in our society, is it much different? Have our values in America declined to that degree? I'm going to say we're not a whole lot better. But thank God we have men and women that still believe in God and still walk in godly manner. Thank God that if he came back, he could find men and women that are walking for God. He could find one. He could find at least one. Isn't that what saved him before? If he could find at least one person, he would save him. But then, back then, he couldn't find one. He can now. I'm here. I believe him. I know y'all do. So, God bless America. I hope and pray he will continue to bless America. But if you looked at it now, do we deserve it? We got problems. And the only way to solve the problem is right here in church, through prayer, through reaching out. Unless the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom and Gomorrah. You and I are the remnant today, not because of who we are, not because we live in America, but because God had mercy on us and saved us, because he had compassion on us. And his mercies are new every morning, as it says in Lamentations 3:23. And as we celebrate Independence Day, let us remember to thank God for his mercy, his compassion, for us and our nation, and for us that is anew every morning. As we're still a nation that God has chosen to show mercy and grace toward, the question still comes to mind, why? I believe Paul has that answer in 1 Timothy 1:12-16. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should thereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Verse 16 is the key. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Another translation is this: but that is why God had mercy on me, so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. America has been shown the mercy and grace of God and now expects for us to be the example for others who would believe. What a tremendous responsibility, and what a humbling responsibility as a Christian living in America. I pray we're willing to be a living example of God's mercy and grace, and others can see it in us and will believe. May we live our lives so that others can see America. God did shed his grace on thee. Independence Day is upon us, and next to Thanksgiving, it's the other day out of the year that we feel thankful for this great country. The United States of America has been blessed. In spite of our many blunders and imperfect track record, we're in a season when so many want to tear down our country and highlight only our faults. I do not want to deny the darker, sadder side of our history, but I'd rather focus on God's goodness to us. I love the line from America the Beautiful, "God shed his grace on thee." As we celebrate the blessings of this country and ponder the future in front of us, let me remind us of what God's grace means for our country. We experience God's grace when he gives us what we do not deserve. God's grace comes at us in two ways: common grace and saving grace. Let's not confuse the two. Common grace is the good God provides to all people. Matthew 5:45. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Every one of us is a sinner and deserves nothing but death, a barren landscape, a harsh environment. Yet God gives us what we do not deserve, a fertile land and a beautiful landscape. And we all enjoy that whether we follow God or not. So many Americans, believers and unbelievers, have been graced with incredible minds, talent, and our ingenuity. And as a country, we've all benefited from that common grace that's been given to them. Compared to the rest of the world, we're most assuredly a very rich country, a well-educated country, and a healthy country. For that, we should thank God. With all these blessings from God's common grace, let's not all deceive ourselves and think we are a special country, as if God likes us more. Just as quickly as we became a strong, prosperous country, God can take it all away. What we have and experience is from God's common grace, our blessings. He provides even though we don't deserve them. So, if he removed his hand one day, we have no right to complain. It's not like God owed it to us. He didn't owe us these blessings. We didn't earn them. Everything good flows from His grace. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. There is the other expression of God's grace, His saving grace. Saving grace is the work of Christ that Christ did to save us from our sin. We cannot earn salvation regardless of our good attempts. He saved us through Christ purely of grace. We do nothing to deserve it, but I'm eternally thankful for it. When people come to Christ and experience His saving grace, they're transformed. We've had many periods of our American history where there has been a significant movement toward God, and our country benefited. Followers of Christ make the best citizens. They strive for the betterment of society. We work to improve the lives out of the love for God and the love for others. A redeemed person is a better person, which leads to better families, and better families lead to better communities. We're not perfect, but where the church has flourished, the community has flourished. Where the community has flourished, the nation has flourished. As we celebrate our country, let us not presume upon His grace. If we continue down the road of ignoring God and His gracious work in our country, let's not presume He will continue to bless us. But if we acknowledge that what we have is from His gracious heart, we could very well see a renewed blessing on our country. Second Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. People, we got a job to do. And as I mentioned in one of the other classes that I had the privilege of giving here, it's a wake-up call. It's time to wake up. Now, I know, and I'm not discriminating against age, because I'm 73, and I know there's people here older and younger than me. And I know we're in our twilight years. I understand that. But we all got kids and grandkids or relatives younger than us. People, it's time we wake the younger generation up. You know, I don't care how we do it, but the younger generation needs to wake up. You know, it's asleep at the wheel, so to speak. They're coasting through, and they've had a gravy train ride so far. I'm telling you, I'm saying it from experience. You can argue with me all you want to. We have made their life easy. And we didn't have it that easy, I guarantee you. You know, I've heard it just this last week. You know, I would have never thought about telling my mother no. No. But I don't know how many times I heard it just last week with my grandkids telling their parents, no. I won't explain what would have happened if I had told my mom and dad, no. You're right. Probably would not. It's time to have a wake-up call. And who's going to do it? Are we going to wait till they wake up? That may be too late. We got to figure out a way how to get this next generation to wake up before it's too late. God bless America. I want him to continue to bless America. We're no better than any other country, but he has blessed us beyond all belief. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But I sure do appreciate what he's given me. And he can take it away in a heartbeat, just like the tax collector. Okay? You don't pay your taxes, they're going to take it away, right? Time to wake up, people. Myself included. I've been asleep at the wheel. I ain't going to argue that. Brother Dwayne mentioned that 2 weeks in July, he's going to be, I don't know if he's going to be on vacation or if he's going to be on filling the pulpit at another church. But I would like to take those 2 weeks that I'm going to be filling in for him here and continue on talking about the different types of God's grace. The grace, you know, forgiveness grace, the different types of grace that God gives us. We all know about the saving grace, so I won't expand too much on that. But there's 4 or 5 different types of grace that I would like to share with you as I've done research through there, as I've been trying to determine grace walk. Where did it come from? What does it mean? What does grace mean? So, you know, if you bear with me, you know, in a couple of weeks in July, you know, I'd like to, you know, cover what is grace and, you know, what it actually means. So, you know, anybody got any comments or questions or issues that we need to bring before we special prayer requests that you'd like to throw out there? I am grateful for all the prayers that you gave for Judy and me. It has been a rough 2 weeks for her. And I will tell you, when she has a bad night, I have a bad night. It's been worse for her, I admit. But, you know, it's been rough. And without everybody's prayers, it would certainly have been a whole lot rougher. But we've been blessed. And, you know, through God's blessings, you know, medical technology, you know, we got a knee replacement. You know, hopefully, you know, that knee will outlast her. You know. Let's all go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the many blessings you have given us, Lord. We're thankful for the opportunity and privilege to be in your house today, Lord. Just thank you for the blessings you've given our nation, Lord. We just pray that you would help this nation turn around and turn back to you and look to you for guidance, Lord. Be with us as we go through these services, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. We ask these things in thy blessed name. Amen.